1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. If it happens, it'll be spectacular. A late-night launch scheduled of the Boeing Starliner capsule.
It's Boeing's first-ever crewed mission with two of NASA's most experienced astronauts on board, Commander Butch Wilmore and pilot Sonny Williams. The mission is a test drive for the Starliner, which has been grounded by technical problems, while its competitor, the SpaceX Dragon, has launched dozens of times. But a successful mission for Boeing will allow the Starliner to be certified for long-term NASA crewed flights to the International Space Station.
ABC's Faith Abube. 6 months until the presidential election, new polling by ABC News and Ipsos gives Donald Trump a 2-point lead on President Biden, but that's among all adults. When only likely voters are counted, Mr. Biden takes a 4-point lead on Trump. Dick Rattan died in 1986. He and co-pilot Gina Yeager completed the first round-the-world flight with no stops or refueling. Dick Rattan was 85. This is ABC News. Nathan Wade, formerly special prosecutor in Fulton County, Georgia's probe of Donald Trump trying to overthrow his election loss in Georgia in 2020, is speaking exclusively to ABC News. Trump's lawyers exposed Wade's romance with District Attorney Fannie Willis.
I hate that my personal life has begun to overshadow the true issues in the case.
A judge ordered Wade off the case in March. He says the romance with Willis had ended by the time it was exposed.
I regret that private matter became the focal point of this very important prosecution.
More of the interview on Good Morning America and ABC News Live Prime. British actor Bernard Hill died. He played King Theoden in Lord of the Rings and Captain Edward Smith in Titanic. Bernard Hill was 79. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
This past week, the far, far right created what they called the Floor Action Response Team. The acronym there is FART. And no such stealth bills came to the floor that would cause the fart to rise. Again, I fact-checked it. That's what they called themselves.
That name really stinks, Maggie. Sorry,
Let
I had
the
to.
Puns roll
the
in.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah. It's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Clemens.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
What you desire. Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome author of Searching for Patty Hearst, a true crime novel, Roger Rappaport, and Wisconsin comedian Tracy Schrader joins me in studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of sunshine today, a few high clouds and upper 60s, a light and variable wind. Overnight, mostly clear and mid-40s. On Monday, sunshine, upper 60s. By Tuesday, a chance of showers, some thunderstorms around as well, especially late in the day. Highs in the mid-60s. It's 57 at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We're going to have policy arguments for the rest of time. But at base, I want my president to be a decent person. I firmly believe that Joe Biden always is trying to do the right thing, that he is a decent man. And in sharp contrast, we've got a man who thinks it's a good thing that stars get to commit sexual assault. And we know that because he said it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we do the show from the chair while I get my hair cut. We're not joking. It's the haircut show. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
If you've ever driven a tractor, you're her friend. This is the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Ah, beautiful Monday on the way. Better enjoy it while you can because there's rain in the forecast coming up tomorrow. Welcome in, everybody. It's a Monday, and I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Yes, of course, we've got all the details from the Allison Dairyland event that took place on Saturday night up in Door County. Our own Carrie Mess was on hand to visit with the brand newly selected Alice. Her name, Haley Hensel. From Oconomowoc. Stand by for a conversation with her. Weather-wise, like I said, today looks like it's going to be a beautiful day no matter where you are. Towards that La Crosse area, maybe a few more clouds, but 72 your expected high. Sunshine for the rest of us. We'll top out around 72 in the Madison area. A little cooler along the lake shore, right around 64 degrees. But then tomorrow, we've got thunderstorms and showers in the forecast. Wednesday, back to cloudy skies and drier weather. Thursday, it looks like it's a toss-up right now. We'll find out what Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, has to say about that. And speaking of weather, Brad Rippey is the chief meteorologist at the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and he says right now we're witnessing a change in our weather patterns, moving from El Nino to La Nina. What does that mean? We're going to talk about that on the way.
The Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association is kicking off a podcast series that tours specialty crop destinations across the state. Over the next several months, we'll visit strawberry patches, hop gardens, sweet corn stands, and more. WADA Executive Director Sheila Everhart says Wisconsin agricultural tourism has a lot to offer.
Wisconsin truly is America's agricultural tourism destination. And agricultural tourism is a way for us to promote specialty crops. It's a way for all of us farmers to work together to bring economic prosperity to our rural communities. It's a way for farmers to have an additional revenue stream to keep that farmland in production, to keep that next generation on the farm.
Learn more at gowiagtourism.com.
Wisconsin barns are full of livestock, but not all the animals in Wisconsin need a barn. I'm Bob Osel at the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire. One group of animals that you won't see in barns are elk. And we do have elk farms as well as wild elk herds in Wisconsin. One of those elk farmers is Bill Knutson from the Holman area. And we asked him about his operation and what kind of pressures there are to raising elk in Wisconsin.
It's really been a good time to be in the elk industry because everybody's expanding. Because the population, the farmer population's getting older and there's no new kids. Young kids want to get into it. So it's like, yes, it's a good time to be in the industry and whatever. So it's doing good.
How many elk producers do we have in Wisconsin?
Oh, a couple dozen. You know, it kind of depends on our association. There's about like 20 of us, but there's a few people that have that don't belong to the association and stuff, so we don't know. As far as nationally, there's only like about 5 people from Wisconsin that belong to the national organization. But, you know, you get what you pay for there. You kind of know what's going on legislatively and also what's going on in the elk world.
As we take a look at where the money is to be made in the industry, what's your operation all about?
Well, like we do the hunt bulls and stuff, which, you know, they go out to breeding farms. And just like anything else, you know, you want the bigger the better because pretty soon Ma's worth more because she's had these big bulls, the full sister to the big bull or whatever. It's genetics, 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 you know, and you can kind of see the people that, you know, have bred, have not AI'd or whatever, and it's, you know, they're just kind of behind the times a little bit. They're just like a step back, and that's, you know, but it costs you some money to be a step forward, so it's like what you pay for.
but in this industry, there is AR, artificial insemination.
Every female animal on our farm, every year for the last 22 years, we've bred artificial. So, and we have a backup bull because we usually get about 75-80% conception rate. So you do have a few backup calves or whatever, but and they're also born leaders. So, you know, but you can see in your herd, they're not, even with all this AI and stuff, they're not as good as the big guys or whatever you want to call them, you know. So it's you get what you pay for.
So as a producer, a farm like you have down in the Holman area, you want heifers or do you want bull calves?
We definitely want the bull calves because it's more money, because the females will last, you know, like say 15, 20 years or whatever. You know, bulls maybe, you know, 4 or 5 years or whatever. And it just, there's a lot more demand for the bulls and stuff. And, you know, there's, like I say, the industry's getting smaller and stuff, and there's not a room for like the female side of it. So, no, it's, and we've even tried the, like the sexing semen, and that's, it didn't work, put it that way.
As you sell to other farms, hopefully they're breeding farms, but as you said, I'm not naive. I know they go to shooting farms as well, but what are they looking for in the breeding farm? Just strictly the antlers, the racks?
Yeah, basically the ideal bull, in my mind, is a, you know, very typical bull that's very wide. Because like you take a 420-inch bull out in the wild that's narrow, and you take a 380-inch bull that's wide, that 380 will get shot every time. You know, and also we do the velvet antler and stuff. It's another source of income from the elk or whatever, and it's, you just dry it and put it in pills, and it's, you know, for dog treats and for like, you know, like say if you got arthritis or whatever, it does work, because we've had people on it I'm on it, and it's been on it for 22 years or whatever, so.
What's a typical year like? When do you breeding? Is it pretty much like any other animal?
See, they only breed once a year, and like say it's, you know, like say the end of September is when we usually AI and put in the backup bull till November 1st, and then it's just, you know, it's kind of like this time of year is kind of the, it's a no-brainer time because the cows are pregnant and the bulls aren't growing horns yet.
What kind of a facility do you have to deal with these animals? Because if they don't have horns, that's one thing, but once they grow those antlers, they can be pretty dangerous.
Well, it's not too bad. The state requires us to have an 8-foot-high fence, you know, all the way around and stuff, which you'd want anyway for the animals' safety and getting out and whatever. Inside the barn, we have like a squeeze chute, we call it. So we basically do everything there for like all the health treatment, the AI and the semen collection, whatever. You know, it's all done out of that chute.
As you go forward during the year, what kind of diseases do you have to deal with, much like other livestock in Wisconsin?
Not really, but the only thing with the elk is like the worming. It's very important to worm and worm and worm, you know, and test and test and test, because usually I worm 3 times a year. It's really very important. But as far as the other diseases, they really, elk are a very hardy animal. They don't really get anything.
And as you go forward, when is the best time to be selling? One of these breeding farms and even the shooters come looking for bulls?
Various times of year. It kind of depends on, you know, whatever they want to do and stuff. It's kind of like anything else. You know, if you want a certain bloodline or a certain size or whatever, the earlier the better.
Is this like cattle or racehorses or whatever? Do you have pedigrees that you can go back and show a buyer?
Every animal I have on my farm is DNA matched to the bull and the dam. And also, you know, like the SBTB and brucellosis tested every 3 years. You know, so it is quite a, you know, there's a lot of red tape to go through.
Give us a ballpark figure of what some of these young bulls that go out to these breeding farms or shooters can bring, based on knowing that when it grows up it's going to be 7 on a side or whatever.
Well, some of the, like these really big ones, like the, say the non-typical ones, which I personally do not like, but, you know, they'll score close to 600 inches and stuff. They'll bring, you know, from the farmer to the hunter, to the farmer to the producer or the hunting ranch, will bring like 50 grand or whatever. So it's, and then he'll turn around and sell that hunt for probably close to 100 grand or whatever. So it's quite lucrative that way. And, you know, like say that not many people can afford that kind of money, but even like say a 350 bull is worth like say $6,000-$7,000.
You ever butcher them at the local butcher shop and eat them? What, they're good.
Well, I always kind of joke they're too expensive to eat, but basically our cull price is like $4 for a hanging weight, so that really translates quite well. So you can't really make money on butcher animals, but you can stay afloat, or you got to have a means to an end of, you know, some of these older ones.
I've been out in the wild in Canada and places like that during breeding season, and to hear these elk bugle is a sound unlike any other. Do you get that on the farm?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, in August, it's like, God dang, that's really neat. By December, just shut up.
Elk, we've got them in Wisconsin, and it's quite an industry. And again, Bill Knutson in the Holman area, producer of elk. How many years you been in the business?
22 years.
All right, and not getting out anytime soon.
I enjoy it too much.
There you go. He enjoys what he does with elk down in the Holman area. Bill Knutson. I'm Bob Bosold.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. The Todd Alba Show.
State Senator Kelda Royce in Richland County. UW System made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the campus by July 1st of this year.
It's so short-sighted to think it costs a little bit more money to run it and there aren't as many students, so let's just shut it down. A smart business owner would say now is the time to invest because we know every person that comes through the door, you're going to get 40-fold the investment from how they're going to be able to give back to our state.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in two different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it. Unless you're a chameleon.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
In Wisconsin, parents pay one-third of their income on child care. Think about what we need our income for. Shelter, food, clothing, gas bill, electric bill. And we're talking about one child. This is a crisis. Young families are saddled with what is almost impossible to deal with.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, Mary Mazzio, whose documentary Bad River focuses on the effort to remove a petroleum pipeline endangering waters up north.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
USDA's chief meteorologist Brad Rippey is keeping an eye not just on what's happening here in the United States, but he's keeping an eye on what's happening halfway around the world, like South America.
I think the big concern for South America, for Argentina and southern Brazil, will be heading into the next crop cycle. They're harvesting now, so they're 6 months off of us because southern hemisphere. So I would be focused on potential drought for the 2024-25 crop in South America. It would be the fourth La Nina in 5 years. They obviously had some drought issues previously during the triple dip La Nina. So certainly some concern heading into the next crop cycle when they're planting again next fall for us.
Brad Rippey, chief meteorologist at USDA, he talked to us, Stephanie Hoff, last week while she was in Washington, D.C. All right, La Nina, El Nino, what's going on here in the United States? Rippey says that actually could be changing.
For people that are getting the moisture now, hold on to that, especially in the middle part of the country, because I do have concerns that we could see some dryness that's already starting to pop up in places like southwest Kansas, southeast Colorado, could begin to spread as we head deeper into the warm season. A lot of the dynamical and statistical guidance does show drought developing Rockies, High Plains region potentially starting to spread a little bit to the east. But with that transition to El Nino, that also means that we expect a very, very active Atlantic tropical basin. And so we could see a pretty fine line between dry conditions, high plains, and relatively wet conditions in parts of the southern and eastern U.S. That would include the eastern Corn Belt.
All right. Eastern Corn Belt. That's Brad Rippey, chief meteorologist at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Perfect transition to our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. I'm bringing in Sue Mucker, ag meteorologist. You know, that moisture situation is something we're all monitoring. Right now, we'd prefer to have a little less so we can get the seed in the ground. Thank you very much to Frank from Elroy that said they picked up 1.3 inches of rain on Saturday on our talk text line. And then our buddies in Alto said 0.7 inch of rain on Saturday afternoon, only took about 10 minutes. Planters were rolling again by Sunday mid-afternoon, but the weather over the weekend was a little bit of a really big hit or miss situation, wasn't it? Are you there?
Well, let me turn that on. There we go.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah. It's Monday. Come on. I had a friend Saturday afternoon, went to get 3 stones on top of the hill, went up with the gator, put the stones in. What's that noise? And looked west and couldn't see the woods to the west. The rain was so heavy. He said in under 10 minutes, he had almost 0.4 inch of rain. I was about 8 miles away and had about 10 sprinkles.
Yeah, that's the way it seemed to be this week. And so, like I said, when I was coming back from the farm, I saw a lot of dust flying. We could use moisture for sure, but not, you know, like I said, I know everybody would much rather have the seed in the ground before that moisture shows up.
Yeah, and, you know, if you can get more done, if you finished some yesterday, have more to do today, give it all you can, because the rain really looks like it will come in for the day Tuesday, if not even late tonight, especially in western Wisconsin. We're going to watch low pressure strengthening out to the west, pulling a warm front northeast up toward the state. That warm front, western Nebraska, Kansas, down to Oklahoma this morning. There is a little rain along with some of that. Nothing too serious right now. Southern Illinois, southern Indiana, back into central South Dakota. None of it, you know, that big area that's going to cruise right into Wisconsin. That's not the case. We'll watch it develop as that front pulls up out of the southwest. The rain could develop in western Wisconsin very late tonight before daybreak, if you will. And then finally by tomorrow afternoon in eastern Wisconsin, everybody else in between picking it up sooner. Rain amounts even up to 0.5 inch or 0.75 inch possibility through the day Tuesday. That warm front kind of lingers off to our north, and that chance of rain sticks around then. Some pop-up or redeveloping shower or storm chances later Wednesday into Wednesday night, later Thursday as well. So we may add more moisture here as we head through this week. One good point, temperatures stay pretty mild, a little cooler with clouds and rain, warming up after, a little cooler right after. But all in all, temperatures appear to be a lot closer to normal as we look ahead even the next weekend. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Optimize your farming with Madison Area Drone Service, your comprehensive drone hub for sales, repairs, and equipment. Their cutting-edge agriculture spray drones ensure precise field applications, significantly reducing waste and enhancing distribution accuracy. With advanced GPS technology, avoid obstacles like tree lines, neighboring fields, and livestock. Getting started is simple with Madison Area Drone Service. Discover more at widroneservice.com. Madison Area Drone Service, streamlining agriculture.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
All business owners want the same thing, to make their business succeed. At Rural Mutual, they help that happen. As the third largest writer of commercial business in Wisconsin, they take the time to learn your business so they can properly protect you. Call your local agent today or visit ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
All right, Stu, let's have that forecast. Like you said, today looks gorgeous, but then rain on the way tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow will be the day. Sunshine today. Clouds develop in the west already later today. Upper 60s and low 70s. A very mild Monday. Winds becoming more southeast, about 5 to 10. More clouds overnight. Rain in western Wisconsin late tonight, you know, 2 or 3 in the morning. Starting to push east then into the day tomorrow. Mid-50s overnight. And tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Showers in the west and even central Wisconsin, central portions as we head on toward midday or into the afternoon. Maybe not until the afternoon in the Far East. Upper 60s are around 70. Winds become southwest 5 to 10. Rain into Tuesday night. Partly sunny Wednesday. Rain redevelops as we head toward midday or afternoon from west to east. Low 70s on Wednesday, Pam. And that rain chance lingers into Thursday. Upper 60s then, maybe low 60s in some areas. Just kind of damp through the midsection of the week.
Overnight lows, though, we're kind of past the threat of frost, are we not?
It really appears that way. I mean, the coolest we may be some night this week could be close to 40.
Okay. All right. That's good to know, because I imagine that, judging by the traffic I saw, there's a lot of gardens, a lot of potted plants that have posies in them as of this morning. You know what I mean?
I was trying to put the brakes on that myself yesterday.
All right, man. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks.
All right, see you.
Stu Mocker, ag meteorologist, with a quick update on what's happening with weather. Yeah, have you got that posy plant? And don't forget Mother's Day coming up this weekend. You can always share your story, your rainfall reports, whatever, with us on our talk text line. That's 877-301-FARM. 877-301-3276. It's all brought to you courtesy of our friends this morning from Compeer Financial. On the way, our new Alice in Dairyland. We'll introduce you.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you hear a siren, it could be a response for help after a fall. Oshkosh Fire Chief Mike Stanley says it's the number one reason for calls to his department.
Much more significantly than we respond to fires, to heart attacks, car accidents, you know, traumatic injuries. You know, we're going on fall calls, you know, more often than not.
Stanley hopes a new partnership with the company behind a free balance training app, Nimble, NYMBL, can help seniors avoid falls by improving balance with exercises from the app.
I can do this from my home. I can do this from my living room, you know, so that I don't have to worry about securing a ride to go somewhere.
Look for more information going out with water bills across Oshkosh this month. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WISC Caregiver Careers makes it easy. With free online training, plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. If it happens, it'll be spectacular. A late-night launch scheduled of the Boeing Starliner capsule.
It's Boeing's first-ever crewed mission with two of NASA's most experienced astronauts on board, Commander Butch Wilmore and pilot Sonny Williams. The mission is a test drive for the Starliner, which has been grounded by technical problems, while its competitor, the SpaceX Dragon, has launched dozens of times. But a successful mission for Boeing will allow the Starliner to be certified for long-term NASA crewed flights to the International Space Station. station.
ABC's Faith Abube.
6 months until the presidential election, new polling by ABC News and Ipsos gives Donald Trump a 2-point lead on President Biden, but that's among all adults. When only likely voters are counted, Mr. Biden takes a 4-point lead on Trump. Dick Rattan died in 1986. He and co-pilot Gina Yeager completed the first round-the-world flight with no stops or refueling. Dick Rattan was 85. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden returns to Wisconsin Wednesday. He'll talk about his economic policies in Racine. It will be Biden's eighth visit to Wisconsin since the midterm elections. Donald Trump was in Wisconsin twice in a month's time. Polls show the race for Wisconsin's votes is a virtual dead heat. Wisconsin's newest sports betting venue is open. Sean Cullen runs the Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino Sportsbook in Milwaukee. He tells WISN-TV's Upfront he'd back legalizing sports betting statewide.
I would hope so, and we would hope so, but at the end of the day, that's up to the state. But, you know, we're obviously supportive of that.
The Forest County Pottawatomie signed an amended compact with the state 2 years ago that allows sports betting on tribal property. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers wrap up rookie minicamp. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers' 11 draft picks and another 40 undrafted players were at the Packers' 2 days of practice over the weekend. The team signing three tryout players and a receiver, Dimitri Stanley, the son of Walter Stanley, a receiver for the Packers in the 1980s. Head coach Matt LaFleur asked about that sling on his left arm the past couple of weeks.
What happened?
Got a little fight with the bench press, so I lost.
Baseball, the Brewers in Kansas City tonight against the Royals. After losing 5-0 to the Cubs, it's the first series loss for the crew on the road so far this season.
It's little things that makes a difference between good and great. So that's what a young team's going to learn, and we're going to have to go through this and learn it and keep our energy and keep our focus the right way. And it's a great challenge. You know, you lose a series to the Cubs on the road, especially in this environment. It's no fun, but you learn from it.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the Devil's Advocates radio show each and every day. We do a show about nothing, but we make it interesting and, you know, we touch on the headlines. Tune in.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of sunshine today, a few high clouds and upper 60s, a light and variable wind. Overnight, mostly clear and mid-40s. On Monday, sunshine, upper 60s. By Tuesday, a chance of showers, some thunderstorms around as well, especially late in the day. Highs in the mid-60s. It's 57 at our studios.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Recent revelations from a disgraced cryptocurrency CEO gives us a glimpse of just how much campaign money flows into our election system, both what gets reported and what's called dark money. In an interview with journalist Tiffany Fong, FTX crypto exchange CEO Sam Bankman-Fried, now in custody in the Bahamas, admitted that he had not only given $40 million to Democrats and Democratic PACs to fund primary races, but he said he also gave an equal amount of dark money to Republican candidates. It's not yet known which dark money organizations, but typically 501c3 and 501c4 nonprofits, limited liability corporations, and other instruments are used to shield donor identities. Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington has since filed a campaign finance complaint with the Federal Elections Commission. Crew suggested that Bankman-Fried contributed as much as $37 million more than was reported to the FEC and says that while the U.S. Supreme Court's Citizens United decision allows independent expenditure to groups, it doesn't allow those groups to pass through donations directly to candidates. Several politicians, including Arizona U.S. Senator Kyrsten Sinema, have reportedly returned money given to them by Bankman-Fried. We have links to the campaign funding transparency website Open Secrets and more details on the allegations at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute, and today's tip is about raising kids to be smart about money. First, start with showing more than telling. Invite your kid to sit in on your budgeting process or whatever you do when you go over your bills. Second, try to make money normal. You know, talk them through your household expenses, your financial goals, answer questions they have honestly. Now, you don't have to do this every single month, but including them 3 or 4 times a year can really help kids get that, you know, talking about money is normal, having to process about it is normal, and that budgeting is a great tool for managing money. And third, tell them about 1 or 2 of your own money mistakes and what you learned from it. You know, we're all human. We're all going to make mistakes. And learning to get back on that money horse after you fall off, man, that's probably one of the best things we can help our kids learn. This is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Until next time, take good care.
Mino and the Mayor.
Well, Matt, this is really great. I'm glad I called your football game that night.
Yeah, me
too. I still remember that. That's the last game I ever did at the Bonta Bowl.
I think that might be the last game I ever played at the Bonta Bowl also.
Yeah.
So we share that together,
what
too.
What a great place that is, though.
I loved it, man. Playing on that field, it was so loud being in the bowl there. The crowd noise.
Exactly. Yeah. I still remember that night. It was a rainy night.
Yep.
Isn't that funny? I got weird memories of games.
It is.
Bizarre.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Terry Barr, host of Slice of Wisconsin here on Civic Media. Mr. Zommers, what is that called?
My Wife is Drunk by Terry's favorite, Alvin Stasinski.
There you go.
Yeah. It's so funny to listen to a polka because you think, where did that song come from?
Right? We actually had one person text during the break there said, how about the Meadow Muffin Polka?
Todd, let's quickly write that and make it.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Mianke.
On the job till the cows come home. This is the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Welcome back. Beautiful Monday on the way for all of us. And that means there's going to be a lot of farm folks trying to continue to go forward with planting. So please be prepared. I know that there was some frustration over the weekend when you got behind some of those big wheeled tractors and farm equipment. But listen, they got to try to do it while they can. And tomorrow looks like rain is back in the forecast. Today, though, beautiful, sunny. Temperatures expected to touch out right around 70 degrees in the Madison area and a little cooler along the lakeshore. But then tomorrow, everybody's got rain in the forecast. So today is the 6th day of May. What can I tell you? On this day back in 1937, the Hindenburg Zeppelin, filled with hydrogen gas, goes up in flames. The footage showed a colossal fireball that took the German airship down. It was the end of the Zeppelin era. 35 lives were lost in that crash. Some did survive. Happened on this day back in 1937. On this day in 2004, the final episode of Friends is aired. Very popular sitcom about Rachel, Monica, Phoebe, Joey, Chandler, and Ross. The final episode, the last one, watched by 52 million viewers on this day in 2004. Here's a never say never. On this day in 1947, an earthquake shook Wisconsin. It was centered due south of Milwaukee near the shore of Lake Michigan. Minor damage, no injuries. The tremor did shake buildings, rattled windows in a lot of communities. There were reports of broken windows in Kenosha. The shock was felt from Sheboygan to the Wisconsin-Illinois border on this day back in 1947. Happy birthday to former Prime Minister of the UK, Tony Blair, 71 years young, and George Clooney looking just as fine as ever, celebrating his 63rd birthday today. And now you know. We know who our 77th Alice in Dairyland is. On Saturday evening in Sturgeon Bay, Haley Heinzel from Oconomowoc was selected as our next agriculture ambassador. Our own Carrie Mess was there.
For the Midwest Farm Report, this is Carrie Mess. I am live from Door County, where we just got to meet our 77th Alice in Dairyland. Haley Heinzel is the top candidate of the top candidates, and she has a unique story. Maybe for the first time in Alice history, she did not grow up on a farm, nor did she have ag as a background. But Haley, tell me more about how you got be where you are as Alice in in Dairyland.
You're right. I did not grow up on a farm, and so I'm all too familiar with what it's like to not know where our food comes from. This curiosity is what led me to join FFA in high school, where in 2018, I milked a cow for the very first time, setting my life on a new trajectory towards agricultural advocacy. I'm now a graduate of the University of Wisconsin's Farm and Industry Short Course, and I'll be graduating from UW-Madison with a degree in Life Sciences Communications next weekend. As the 77th Alice in Dairyland, I'm really looking forward to bridging that gap for producers and consumers, but I'm also looking forward to inspiring others who are growing up in urban areas, that there's a place for them in our agriculture industry. I know growing up, trying to get into agriculture, sometimes it can feel like there's a lot of obstacles or barriers to getting involved in our wonderful agriculture industry in our state. And I want to be a part of that bridge to getting people into our agriculture industry.
Now, you mentioned you're about to graduate college. You told me a funny story. Share that with us here.
So I actually had a final exam the morning of coming up for finals. I was a little stressed about finals, so I didn't do as well as I'd hoped, but I got a good enough grade that I'm still all set to graduate next weekend. So it was a physics exam. It was pretty tough.
Tell me, looking forward to the next year, what are you excited about?
I'm really looking forward to traveling our great state to get to learn more about the diverse agriculture industry and share with consumers the passion of our farmers and producers.
Haley, tell me a little bit about how you prepared the hardest job interview you'll ever have.
So the process to become Alice in Dairyland is a long but incredibly rewarding process. I started back in January with my initial application. I was interviewed, finally announced as a top candidate during the press briefing, and then we've returned this weekend starting Wednesday night all the way Thursday, Friday, Saturday with the announcement of the 77th Alice in Dairyland. Along the way, I got to participate in some marketing and communications trainings through the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protections, learning more about all of the great agriculture in our state and how to best advocate and represent it. And through the weekend, we did media briefings and public speaking and a variety of assignments, all to decide who was the best fit for the 77th Alice in Dairyland.
Just tonight, it was announced that the 2025 host for the 78th Alice in Dairyland will be held in Crawford County over in Prairie du Chien. For the Midwest Farm Report, this is Carrie Mess.
Thanks, Carrie. Really glad that she could be on hand for us up in Sturgeon Bay. And congratulations again, Haley Heinzel from Oconomowoc. A couple other things that you might want to know about. Crawford County is going to be announcing more details on their hosting of the 78th Alice in Dairyland during their June 1st dairy event. That's going to be at the Crawford County Fairgrounds in Gays Mills. So if you want to follow along on that, there's one spot where you'll pick up a few more of the details. Other folks have asked me, how much money does Alice in Dairyland get paid? Remember, she is a contracted position within the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. So Haley Heinzel will be signing official paperwork with the state of Wisconsin. The annual salary for Alice in Dairyland is $45,000. That includes holiday, vacation, and sick leave, and use of a state vehicle while on official business. They also reimburse up to $450 a month for the health insurance premiums. So those are a few of the things that you may not know about the Alice in Dairyland position. Again, congratulations, Haley. She'll take over officially on July 8th. And in the meantime, we get to work with the beaming smile of Ashley Hagenow from Poinette, our current Alice in Dairyland, doing such a wonderful job. Well, our job this morning, telling you that the markets are in the red ink. On Friday in Chicago, barrel cheese was unchanged at 188. The 40-pound black cheese gained a quarter of a cent to 179. Double A butter finished the week up a penny and three quarters per pound at 307 and a half. Now, this morning, dairy is the only thing that's gaining money on the board. Right now, the Class 3 milk for June, remember that's the milk that goes into cheese, up 13 cents at 1937. The July Class 3 milk is up 12 at 1940 a hundredweight. Everything else in the red ink. Currently, December corn's down 4 at 478 and 3 quarters. November beans down almost 6 cents at 1195. July new crop wheat, that's down 9 and a quarter at 613 and a quarter. We continue to monitor the high path avian influenza situation and its impact on our dairy industry. Last week in Washington, D.C., Stephanie Hoff found out there may be some discussion about how to offset some of the financial losses dairy can face if their herd's infected.
At last count, as of the end of April, the highly pathogenic avian influenza has been found in more than 30 herds of cattle across 9 states. One of the symptoms is decreased milk production. I asked U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack about the possibility of an indemnity program or compensation to help farmers cover the cost of lost milk. He says it's a complex issue.
The amount of milk that has been lost as a result of the virus itself, in other words, the virus impacted the quality of milk that was being produced, and that was an indication or symptom, relatively small, not a large amount. Pretty difficult, given the small nature of that. It's very easy in the poultry case, right? Because you got to kill the birds. To end the virus, you got to kill the birds. So really pretty simple calculation. So many birds by so many dollars, that's the indemnity. A little bit more difficult here because cows aren't dying.
Secretary Vilsack says he's more interested in the long-term effects of the virus in dairy cattle that may help justify an indemnity program.
Is there a residual impact and effect that is long-standing on the dairy cow? In other words, you recover from the virus, but you don't produce as much as you produced before, right? You produce 10 or 15 or 20% less over the life of that cow, that's an issue, right? We would be interested in knowing that.
But Secretary Vilsack says he needs farmer participation in order to get the data.
Here's the challenge. Farmers are reluctant to share information for lots of different reasons. So it's important for us to be able to get with farmers, to be able to get the information that would allow us to make an informed decision about whether or not an indemnification program makes sense. Anecdotally, there have been some indications that there are some losses, but we're going to need help from farmers to get the information to be able to then justify to the people that need to be justified to that we're going to spend some significant resources to be able to help these folks out.
U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack speaking on the possibility of compensation to help farmers cover the cost of lost milk due to the highly pathogenic avian influenza, or H5N1. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
A situation hopefully Wisconsin dairy producers will not have to investigate further. Thank you, Stephanie. Up next, a little bit more from Washington, D.C. A farm bill. Is it on the way or not? Charity Seebecker joins us with a conversation featuring Senator Tammy Baldwin on her thoughts. That's next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Mino and the Mayor.
Today's also lingerie day. Johnny, did you ever buy lingerie for anybody?
Yes.
I never did. Even when I walked through Walmart?
Yeah. Well, who would buy? I sure would buy lingerie at Walmart. Oh my God. Todd, can you take that clip and make a promo?
Let me write that down. That's 6:20.
I never buy my lingerie at Walmart.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Monday morning, join me as I stroll through memory lane and take in the sounds of the Motor City. It's Motown Mondays.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Farm marketing out of West Bend. This afternoon, we'll get our latest planting progress report. Won't take into account all the work we get done today, but it will draw a line in the sand about how much work got done as of Sunday. So we want to keep an eye on what's happening in Washington, D.C. A couple things that come to mind. First of all, today, if you want to follow on social media, the National Ag Equipment Manufacturers are on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. with everything about agriculture technology. They've got farm equipment. They've got software packages. They're trying to help the elected officials, our senators and congressional leaders, recognize how much technology is involved in agriculture today. Obviously, they're also hoping to educate the general public. Another topic of discussion out in Washington, D.C., and part of the reason why that farm equipment's there, to try to motivate senators and representatives to get working and wrap up a farm bill. Charity Seebecker's got more.
Wisconsin agriculture is watching policy development in Washington, D.C., with a farm bill on the horizon. I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report, and Senator Tammy Baldwin says that she's focused on efforts to address pressing agricultural challenges and prioritize farmer well-being.
I had the honor last session of chairing the Ag Appropriations Committee, and really, you know, representing a state like Wisconsin, America's Dairyland, but also with some real leadership in specialty crops, it really gave me an opportunity to meet with my stakeholders and set priorities to continue the research mission and strengthen that, to look at national concerns like increasing foreign ownership of ag lands and what sort of threats that introduces. And also, since so many farmers are facing headwinds these days, it gave me an opportunity to fund programs that give them a fighting chance of getting ahead. I think, for example, of a program I championed in the Farm Bill called the Dairy Business Innovation Initiative. And we had that victory in the last farm bill, but just to make sure that it keeps getting funded at a robust level to give dairy farmers a fighting chance of getting ahead.
What are some of those ag issues that are really keeping you the busiest today?
Well, right now we are seeing nationally challenges with avian flu infecting our dairy cows. And while we have not yet identified a Wisconsin case, we want to be very vigilant as we see that around the United States. So I would say that that's the timely issue that is getting a lot of my attention as I interact with CDC and USDA, the two lead federal agencies looking into this, but also as I talk to farmers back home who certainly want to make sure that their herd is healthy and that they don't have these challenges. So that's an immediate issue. But as we put together our next farm bill, I can tell you there's a lot of other priorities on my mind.
With that upcoming farm bill, like you said, it's on everybody's mind. It's at the forefront. What are some of those key priorities or efforts that you have been working on to help our dairy farmers?
With regard to dairy in this upcoming farm bill, I would like to both reauthorize and expand the Dairy Business Innovation Initiative. That has really been a lifeline for many small and medium-sized family dairy farms, where input costs have been so high, the price that they get for the milk has not kept pace, and so they're falling behind, and they want the opportunity to get grants to either make their operations more efficient or to add some value to the products that they're producing on the farm, so they can get ahead. And so that'll be a real key focus of mine in the next farm bill. Also, because of all the headwinds that farmers are facing, there's a lot of stress. There's a lot of feelings of isolation and depression. And so farmer mental health and farm worker mental health is a key priority for me. I have bipartisan legislation to help expand our response to these challenges. And I want to see those reauthorized in this upcoming farm bill, as well as making sure that we have the financial resources backing those services up. I'll note on a parallel track, I was one of the co-authors of the 988 bill that provides an opportunity for somebody in a crisis to call that three-digit number they now remember, 988, which is a suicide prevention hotline as well as a mental health crisis hotline.
Another thing that many of us in agriculture are asking for the support of is that AM radio for every vehicle act. Any updates you can give us on this?
I'm fortunate to sit on a committee that has this matter in its jurisdiction, and we've really embraced the legislation to keep AM radio and passed it on through our committee. We want to see it become law. I want to say a couple of things about this. One is just personally, when I'm in my car, I listen to AM radio. And I know that so many in the agricultural community just have a radio on in the barn or as they're working. And losing that would really impact the ability to keep up with agriculture news, to keep up with local news, and to reach the content that that farmers want to hear. And as we see this move on the part of the automakers to not put AM radio in the cars, I mean, I just can't imagine that, but indeed that's happening for a number of different reasons. We got to push back and say, you know, if you have to make some modifications to keep AM, do it.
That's Senator Tammy Baldwin along with us. She added that the farm bill is not just about farms. It's about the farmers. It's about the rural communities. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Fabulous Farm Bay, Pam Youngke here with the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WGBW. It's about your food and where it comes from. Tune in and learn. 5 a.m., 1590 a.m., 97.9 FM, the Talk of Green Bay.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
A major regulatory hurdle is cleared for advancing agricultural ethanol. That's next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
The U.S. ethanol industry was pretty pleased last week when several federal agencies signed off on updates to what is known as the GREET model. That's a scientific tool for analyzing the life cycle impacts of energy and vehicle systems. Tom Bias is CEO of the American Carbon Alliance.
I think the GREET model is going to help, and it depends on each individual plant.
Before the updates last week, American corn ethanol was not getting credit for climate-smart agricultural practices, which put the industry at a disadvantage when competing against other biofuels. Bias says U.S. ethanol plants are also looking to improve their GREET scores by setting up underground carbon sequestration.
The capturing of the carbon is the big one that really lowers that carbon index score by about 30 points. And that means that U.S. ethanol plants, on average, probably have a carbon score of 60, will be down to 30. And in order to qualify for the users of sustainable aviation fuel, that fuel mix has to be below 50 on the carbon scale.
Bias returns tomorrow to talk about a challenge facing U.S. ethanol from Brazilian competition. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
It's producer Amanda. On the next Mino and the Mayor, the guys are joined by Frank Hermans, who has a new show at the Meyer. And the folks from Caribbean Taste Food Truck in Appleton are in our small business spotlight.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
State Senator Keldon Royce in Richland County. UW System made the unilateral decision to completely vacate the campus by July 1st of this year.
It's so short-sighted to think it costs a little bit more money to run it and there aren't as many students, so let's just shut it down. A smart business owner would say now is the time to invest because we know every person that comes through the door, you're going to get 40-fold the investment from how they're going to be able to give back to our state.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till... You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.